Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Recordati 2018 preliminary consolidated results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Marianne Tacchi, Director, Investor Relations and Corporate Communication of Recordati. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon or good morning to everyone, and thank you for attending the Recordati conference call today. Fritz Guindo, our CFO, will be presenting and commenting upon our full year 2018 preliminary results. For a better understanding of his presentation, please access the set of slides available on our website, www.recordati.com, under the Investors section and Presentations tab. At the end of the presentation, we will answer any questions you may have. Please go ahead, Fritz.
Thank you, Marianne. Good afternoon or good morning to everyone. Let's start with our slide number two, and let me say that we are very pleased with our full year 2018 results, which show sales and margin growth. Let's start commenting our revenue. Consolidated revenue for the year is 1,352.2 million, up by 5% over the last year. Let me comment our sales projection. I will say sales result. Sales include those of the metoprolol-based product that we have acquired from AstraZeneca last year and fully consolidated for the year 2018. Also, we are also accounting in our P&L the sales generated by Natural Point, the company acquired in end of June in Italy. I would like also to underline that in our result, there is also an estimated negative currency effect of something which is close to 48 million euros. Excluding all these item, growth would have been of 4.2%, which is in line with our expected organic growth. Sales contribution important from the consolidation of new company acquired, but as usual, solid performance of our organic portfolio. A further improvement of our margins are on track. EBITDA at 36.9% of sales is for the year 499.1 million, and which are up by 9.8%. Operating income at 32.7% of sales is 442.2 million, an increase of 8.8%. Net income at 23.1% of sales is 312.4 million, an increase of 8.2% compared to preceding year. Overall, another improvement, a further improvement of our margin in one year, 2018, in which we had to overcome currency effect mainly linked to the Turkish lira, and also some generic entry challenges, in particular for our combination of lercanidipine and enalapril, and for Cosmogen and in the USA. Even in this scenario, we have been able to grow the sales and to have a further improve in our margin. Going to our net financial position, the net debt at the end of the year is 588.4 million, which had an increase compared of 206.6 million compared to last year financial position. Let me remind you that in the period, we have had an important share buyback for an overall disbursement of 169.8 million. We have used or pay our dividend for an amount of 179.9 million, and we have the acquisition of Natural Point in Italy, Tonipharm in France, for a value of 148 million. We have also, at the beginning of the year, acquired rights from Mylan for Cystadrug in Europe and in other territory for 20 million euros. Excluding these more important investments, we continue to have a very strong cash generation. It's important, the year it was also very productive. regarding steps for our development. Let me underline some of these. We have, as I said, acquired rights for Cistagone in Europe and in the other territories from Ireland. We have acquired in end of June Natural Point, an Italian company specialized in food supplements, and in particular with a very well-known brand of magnesium, Magnesio Supremo. And at the end of the year, we have bought a company in France, Tonifam is the name, company, which is marketing prevalently product over the counter or in the OTC environment and is a further improvement in our OTC franchise. During the last quarter, Reagila also, Reagila, which is an important product for our specialty and primary care portfolio, was launched in some European countries, and we have also obtained the worldwide license, including US, China, Hong Kong, and Israel, for the marketing of Ledaga, which is an important product for our portfolio in the treatment of rare diseases. And always in the treatment of rare diseases, we have also obtained the orphan drug designation for two products in the development. Then, I'd like to say that a very important year, 2018, very solid financial result, and for us it's also important step in building the future of the company with important transaction in both in the specialty and primary care, in particular in the OTC environment, and a reinforcement of our pipeline and product portfolio in the treatment of rare diseases. We can now move on the analysis of our sales. As usual, on slide 3, you have the analysis of the main product of the company. Then, the performance of our corporate products, let's say, are in line with expectation. And in this group of products, we are now the metoprolol-based product that we have acquired from AstraZeneca, as I said at the beginning, as from July 2017. Let's start, as usual, with our Lercanidipina sales. Zanidip is the most important brand of Lercanidipina, and overall, Lercanidipina sales continue to remain stable, and we continue to keep the level of sales of €120 million. Regarding the sales of the combination of Lercanidipina and Enalapril, Zanipress, these are down as expected due to the competition for generic version. And now we have generic version as competitor in all the main Western European countries. But even in this environment in which we have for both, for Zanidip and for Zanipress, generic competition, the overall sales of Lercanidipina franchise in 2018 are €180 million sales. Going back to Urorec, which is the most important brand for Silodosin, Urorec generated sales of €101.1 million, then over than €100 million during the year, and are up by 9%, and thanks to the good performance of the product in all the main markets. Then, sales of Livazo, the most important brand for our pitavastatina-based product, are €46.4 million, and which are up by 18.3%. And this is due to the good performance of the product in Turkey and in all the other markets where it has been launched. Then, both Silodosin and pitavastatina continue to grow in line with our expectations. I would like also to remind you that, as I said, now, starting from July 2017, we consolidate also revenue generated by the product base following the acquisition of AstraZeneca right to Seloken, Seloken, Zog, and Logimac, which are the two brands for the metoprolol-based product. And these product in 2019, sales of this product in 2018 are €98.9 million, and this is also in line with our expectation, and This program contributes significantly to the growth of our subsidiary, namely Germany, Poland, France, Czech Republic, and Romania. And it's important to say that we are keeping the value of this business, and we are also developing, thanks to this, to the sales of this product in area in which we have not a direct presence, in particular in the Nordic area, in the Benelux area, in the Baltic area. This is the base for our entry with our own organization in this market, which allow us now to have even more balance and complete coverage of the European market. Then, very pleased by the acquisition of Selochem for both reasons, which were strategically important for us, to consolidate, to keep the sales, but also to complete our coverage in Europe. Then there are this line of other corporate products, which comprise 23 products sold in multiple territories, 8 of which are OTC products. Included in this line are the initial sales of Reagila, our new product for the treatment of schizophrenia, which in the 2018 results are 3 million. But I think it's important for Reagila, this initial result of sales, which are in line with what we expected, but it's even more important the market access activity, which has progressed very well in 2018, and in the toward the end of the year, we have launched the drug also in Switzerland, Italy, Benelux, UK, and the Nordic country. Just to remind you that the initial launch of Reagila was in Germany in April, but we have now starting selling the new product in almost all of the market in which we have right. And we expect next year to complete the market access in Spain and in Portugal. Let's now move on the orphan drug for rare disease, our specialty, which is indicated for the treatment of rare diseases, generated sales of 214.8 million during the year, which is an increase of 1.7%. We have included in this number, in this growth, there are sales in the US, which are down by 7.8%, but this is due mainly to the already announced competition from a generic version of our brand, of our product Cosmegen in the US. Let me say the actual results are in line with our expectations, and this decrease in the US is also due to a negative exchange rate, which could be estimated to be 4.7 million euros. Excluding this sales performance in the US, in all the other parts of the world, in the sales in the rest of the world, grow by 12%. Moving on slide number four, as usual, here in, we present this graph with our very well diversified product portfolio. And let me underline that now corporate products for the full year, including the rare disease drugs, now account for 67.7%, and also thanks to the inclusion of the Metoprolol franchise that we have acquired last year. Slide number five, the slide shows sales performance by geography. Let's start as usual in Italy. Sales in Italy are up by 5.8%, due mainly to the good performance of Urorec and Cardicor. Cardicor is the bisoprolol, for which we have rights for the Italian market. We have also a significant growth for the treatment of rare diseases, and also starting from July 18, we have also the contribution of the sales of Natural Point, the company that we have acquired, for an amount of 7.7 million euros. In Germany, sales are up by 11.7%, mainly thanks to the sales generated by the metoprolol-based products we have acquired from AstraZeneca. Sales in France, here again, are up by 5.7%, and in our French market, it's worth mentioning the good performance of Urorec, in addition to the integration in the product portfolio, also in France, of metoprolol-based brand, and also the addition of the gastrointestinal product Transipec and Colopec we acquired from Bayer at the end of 2017. Also in France, the treatments for rare diseases are growing strongly. Revenue generated in Russia, Ukraine and CIS country is 105.6 million, which are down by 1.3%, and includes, this is the reason for this decrease, an estimated currency exchange losses of 11.4 million. Sales in Russia, which is the major market in this part of of Europe, in local currency grow by 4.2%. Then decrease in euro translated, but we continue to have growth in our business in Russia, also thanks to the good performance of our corporate product that we have launched in this market. In particular, Urorec, Zanidiplonicin, and Procto-Glyvenol are performing well. Then we have our U.S. business. Let me again to underline that our USA business is only dedicated to the marketing of products for the treatment of rare diseases. Sales in 2018 are 101 million euro, which as I already commented are down by 7.8%, and this is mainly to the competition of the generic version of Cosmegen and also to a significant exchange rate. In local currency, our USA business decreased by 3.3%. Sales in Turkey are down by 12.9%, and this is only due to the negative currency effect, which could be estimated in 27.1 million. Local currency, our Turkish subsidiary grew by 20.5%. Very solid performance locally. We have been aided by the devaluation of the Turkish lira, in particular in the second part of this year. And then sales in the Central and Eastern European countries benefit significantly from the consolidation of the metoprolol-based products acquired in last year. And this is another important contribution for metoprolol because now in Holland, in Romania, and in Czech Republic, we have increased our critical mass in terms of sales. And now, thanks to a very well recognized brand for the metoprolol-based product we have acquired from AstraZeneca. Slide number 6. As usual, we present in this graph the geographical breakdown of our pharmaceutical revenue. No major changes, but we continue to have a very balanced portfolio with our Italian business, which represents around 20% of our sales. Slide number 7, we have the P&L full year result 2018. We have already analyzed and commented our revenue for the period. Moving on the margin, gross profit in the period is 956.7 million with a margin of 70.7 million, 17% on sales, and here we have an improvement over that of the preceding year due to the further growth of product with higher margin and to the positive effect of the metoprolol-based product acquired last year. Selling expenses at 24.7% of sales increase less than our sales and are therefore down as a percentage of revenue compared to the preceding year. And this is thanks to the increased efficiency and continuing leveraging of our group commercial organization. G&A expenses are up by 3.3%, but are down as a percentage of sales. And now, as a percentage of sales, our G&A are 5%. R&D expenses in the period are 109.7 million, which are up by 9.4%, due to the advancement of the new development program, in particular in the rare disease space, and also to the amortization of the acquired right to the metoprolol-based product. Net financial charges are 24.3 million, and a significant increase compared last year, but let me comment a bit on this increase, because 6.9 million are due to late payment interest linked to the settlement that we have had with the Italian Fiscal Authority in the last quarter. Then let me comment on this. During the year, in particular in the month of November, we have a settlement with the Internal Revenue Service with the Italian Authority. The agreement covers the complete definition of all the disputes, which are not only related to the Italian subsidiary, but also related to the Irish Canseco subsidiary and the Luxembourg subsidiary, as we have stated last year in the note of our balance sheet. But then in November we have a complete definition of all this dispute with an impact in both interest charges due to the late payment interest related to this definition, but we have also, this agreement also provide a further cost to the following period of 9.2 million, which is on top of what we have already accrued in our balance sheet at the end of 2017. Then, we have the full definition. We have an impact in our P&L in 2018, which is 6.9 million due in the interest charges and 9.2 in our tax charge for the year. Let's now comment our tax. The effective tax during the year remained 25.3%, because on the one hand we had this definition and this with the Agenzia delle Entrate in Italy. On the other hand, the cost is partially offset by the recognition of a tax credit in Turkey they link to our investment in the plant in Turkey for an amount of 4.8 million. Let's now move on our net income. Net income in the period at 23.1% of sales is 312.4 million, and we have an increase compared to last year of 8.2% of our net income. As I said at the beginning, very important and further improvements, even in if we have in particular for the net income, we have included in the cost of the year the full settlement of this dispute that we have had with the fiscal authority in Italy. We can now move on slide 8, in which we present our revenue by segments, and now we present EBITDA and EBIT between our two business segments. Then EBITDA margin are 50.5% for the rare disease segment and 34.3% for the specialty and primary care segment. Both segments show margin improvement. At EBIT margin are 48.1% for the rare disease business and 29.8% for the specialty and primary care segment. Slide number 9, net financial position. We continue, as I said, to have a strong cash flow generation, which has been used for investment in the business. At the end of the year, the net financial position show a net debt of 588.4 million, which with an increase compared to last year of 206.6 million. But as I said, it's important to underline that we have invested part of our cash flow generation in the development of the company. Here again, I would like to remind you that we have invested 20 million euros for the acquisition of the right of Cistagon. We have acquired own share for an overall amount of 169.8 million. We have paid dividend for an amount of 178.9 million. And furthermore, the Italian company Natural Point and the French company Tonifar were acquired. And here in our balance sheet situation, we have the full disbursement for the acquisition of Tonifarm. And then overall, the value of the two acquisitions is 148 million euros. Therefore, we have a strong generation in excess of 300 million if we exclude these extraordinary or investment event, which imply over 100% of net income cash conversion rate, which is in line with it was our historical cash conversion rate. Then, to finish my presentation on slide 12, here we have our financial projection for the full year 2019. These targets were disclosed on the 21st of December of last year, and now we are confirming our targets for the full year. In particular, we expect for the whole 2019 to achieve sales ranking from 1,430,000,000 to 1,450,000,000. We expect EBITDA of between 520 and 530 million, EBIT of between 460 and 470, and the net income between 330 and 335 million, which means margin are in line with those we have achieved in 2018. Here I have finished my presentation. Thank you for your attention, and now I am available for any question you may have.
Operator, could you please open the question and answer period?
Thank you. Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Martino De Ambrogi with Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. Good morning, everybody. The first question is on the guidance for the current year. So just to know, what are the assumptions on Forex and R&D and the consolidation of newly acquired assets for this year?
Only this one, Martino?
No, that was the first one. So the second is on the gross margin. I was wondering if there is a roof under the current perimeter for the expansion of your gross margin, which exceeded 70%. And the third one, and more generic, I don't know if it's too early to ask about it, but now that the change in the majority shareholding structure has been finalized, could you share with us what is going to change in your strategy, or we need to wait for the presentation next May?
Okay, then. First question regarding the assumption in our 2019 guidance. Regarding R&D, the assumption is to keep essentially the same level in terms of percentage of sales that we have achieved, that we have in 2018, and then no major changes in terms of R&D expenses as percentage of sales. Having said that, the R&D are also linked to program, and then depending on how are evolving the program, we can have slightly changes in our R&D cost, but essentially the assumption is to keep the same level of cost. Regarding assumption, implied in our projection, there is a further minor but a further negative impact due to the devaluation of the Turkish lira, because as I said during the conference call, the devaluation was really important in the second half of 2018. Then we expect something which could be considered close to 1% as an impact for the full year, based mainly to the full year impact of what is the level of Turkish lira today. And we have also assumed, in line with consensus, a further devaluation of the Turkish lira going forward. Then this is not based on our assumption is not based on the Turkish lira that there is today, but we have considered a further devaluation going forward during 2019. Second question was related to the gross margin.
Newly acquired assets, the consolidation.
Okay. Gross margin, then we are very pleased now with our margin, which is above 70%. Frankly speaking, we don't expect major changes in the gross margin. Then we expect to keep our gross margin in the range of 70%. Regarding the assumption in terms of sales, let's say we have for sure included in our projection in terms of sales the consolidation of the full year of Natural Point and Tony Farm, which has an impact which could be estimated around 2.5%. And the other two are mainly license agreement, because both Ledaga that we've signed at the end of 2018 and also the Giustapid license for the Japanese market, and this has been included initial sales for Ledaga and also initial sales for the new license of Giustapid. The third question was
the shareholding. What is it?
Shareholding. Then this is a then you have also seen our press release that now there is a new situation in terms of ownership of the company, and we expect the new ownership will continue the company business strategy, keeping, as always we have said, management and people in place, and also the strategy going forward, we expect to be in line with it was our historical strategy. Then I can confirm that the group strategy is to continue to grow organically and through acquisition in the future, which may see an acceleration, but this is also linked to availability of target in the market and also linked to our financial strength. Then, no major changes, and the company will continue in the same direction, and the company will continue with the same management. And this is in line to what we have announced when there was the closing, the signing and then the closing of the acquisition of the female stake by CVC and the other investors.
Okay, thank you, Fritz.
Ciao, Martin.
The next question is from Joe Walton with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I've got a few product questions and a couple of financial questions. On the product questions, I wonder if you could tell us, you've given us the initial sales of Reglia. Could you tell us what sort of pricing you have been able to achieve outside of Germany? So in Germany, you've been able to choose whatever price you like, but now you've got approvals in the UK and the Nordic region, presumably where you've had to effectively agree prices. Are they the price levels that you've expected? Are they in line with other modern antidepressant stroke antipsychotic drugs? And I'm pushing my luck here, but would you give us a peak sales estimate for your two new drugs that you have in-licensed, the Lagarda product and Juxtapid? And on the US, Cosmogen, have we now reached a stable position so that all of the erosion that you would expect post the patent expiry has happened? Or will there be a continuing negative effect continuing into 2019? And on the financial side, I wonder if you could tell us what your expected product amortization charge will be in 2019. I assume that you are going to have some extra intangible asset amortization that comes from some assets in Tony Farm, maybe a full year of Natural Point, and maybe your two licensed products will give you some amortization. And finally, on your net financial charge, if we take out the one-time $6.9 million, we're back to about the level of charge you had in 2017. Is that a good guide for the financial charge for 2019? Thank you.
Okay, lot of questions, Joe. Okay, then. First question was related to Reagila. Then, as I said in the call, sales achieved in 2018 were €3 million, in line with expectation. We have now have the approval in Nordic, in Italy, in Benelux, in the UK. And let's say that for 2019, the expected sales of Reagila are at least €10 million. But I would like again to underline this is a chronic disease and the uptake of a new product is the slow one. We don't expect an explosion of the drug in particular in 19, but we expect progressively to start selling our product in all the market in which we have rights. Regarding prices, we are pleased by the price that we have obtained, but I cannot comment on this call, but we are pleased. We have a premium price compared to the generic competitor, but I don't want to disclose because we have not yet finished in all the market our market access activity. Cosmogen in the USA, then the entry of the generic of Cosmogen occurred last year at the beginning of the year. Then the majority of the effect is already done, has already impacted our P&L. Then we can expect a slight further erosion at the beginning of this year, but then overall we expect the full impact is already occurred, and we expect a sort of stabilization of our sales for Cosmogen. Just a slight reduction compared to the sales that we have achieved in 2018, but this is mainly due to the fact that at the beginning of the year, the competition was less aggressive than has been in the other part of the year. But no major impact for Cosmogen. Regarding peak sales of the Ledaga, then we believe that both are two important products in our portfolio. Let's say that Juxtapid is a product which is limited to the Japanese market, and Ledaga is a license that we have for is global, excluding US, China, Israel, and some other minor market. Then, in terms of potential peak sales, Ledaga is more important than Juxtapid for the dimension of the market. But let's say we have not included in our press release peak sales, and therefore I don't want to comment the peak sales today, but we believe that one could be in the range of 20, 30 million, the other could be in the range. We are talking about Justapid, and the other could be in the range of 50 million. But these are preliminary evaluation. As usual, we have now to start selling and promoting the drug. The the other question were?
The amortization, the product amortization.
And sorry, but I have not with me the exact number, we will have some increase in the amortization for the new drug, but for unfortunately not here with me the number. Marianne will send to you if you want the real number. But we are not talking of big number. We could be in the region of 5-8 million euro cost. But the right for all of these. Tony Farm, fully a natural point and initial amortization for Ledaga and Justapil. Regarding the net financial charges, then if we exclude taxes, then the cost is in the region of 16 million euro, which I believe could be sustainable. Sometimes, unfortunately, we have also some negative effect, but excluding this, let me say that interest charges in the range of 16 million euro is something which is sustainable going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question.
The next question is from Ryan McGowan with Permira. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the presentation. Just a couple of questions from me. So in terms of your full year 19 guidance, I note that the EBITDA range that you provided implies some slight EBITDA margin decline. Is that just mix effect from acquisitions or what's driving that?
Okay, then we have a range, and then we have, in terms of guidance, as usual, we announce a range of revenue in EBITDA, in EBIT and net income, but let me say, if you cross all these numbers, we can say that overall, this is our assumption. We expect to keep all our margin, EBITDA, EBIT and net income, to the level that we have achieved in 18.
Okay, but I mean, if you take the 520 and 530 divided by the revenue range of 1430 to 1450, it shows a bit
okay,
of a margin decline.
Okay, but then depending which kind of calculation you are doing, but let's say these are range overall. Let me say that we expect to keep our margin at the same level that we have achieved last year.
Okay.
Then depending on what will be revenue and what will be EBITDA in terms of, because giving a range depending on the calculation you have done. But let's say this is a range. The message is that we expect to keep our margin at the same level we have achieved in 18.
Okay. And then the second question is on the leverage through the holdco. Could you disclose what you're calculating holdco leverage to be?
Sorry, no.
We don't want to comment something which is linked to the bond which was issued by Rossini. Then, if you are asking me what is the level of debt, then, as usual, I can say that...
Ricordati.
We are only talking about Ricordati. Now, we have one net financial position at the end of 18, which is... 588.4, in which we have included 75 million euro disbursement for the acquisition of Tony Farm. We paid this acquisition at the end of 2018 without any positive impact in terms of margin. If we exclude this payment, our leverage, our margin, we have a net financial position close to one time EBITDA. We have a strategy in which we want to continue to reinvest the free cash flow generation, and then the expectation is to continue to the inorganic growth. As I said in my conference call, this is linked mainly to opportunity, and then I cannot comment. We have no specific target in terms of leverage by the end of 2019. We expect to invest the free cash flow generation, and if we can find interest opportunity, we can slightly improve our debt. As usual, we continue with our discipline in approaching the acquisition, and the level of debt is more driven by opportunity which could create value in the company rather than a specific financial objective for in terms of leverage. We will issue a specific and an update to our business plan. This is common for Recordati in May, in which we could be even more detailed in our objective in terms of leveraging the Recordati. Okay?
Thank you.
Bye.
The next question is from Casey Haricotla with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Casey from Goldman Sachs. Thanks for taking my question. I have one regarding the margins. You've managed to expand margins significantly in 2020.
Casey, can you talk louder, please? We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, better.
Better.
So I had a question on the margins. You managed to expand margins significantly in 2018 despite currency headwinds. If I were to look at it in the longer term, what would you say are sustainable margins for your primary care segment and your elderly segment in terms of margins? Thank you.
Oh, no, sorry. It's very confusing. We didn't get the point. Could you just make it shorter? What's the point that you're getting at?
What would you say are sustainable margins in your primary care segment and rare disease segment in the longer term?
Okay, I have commented guidance for 2019, and for sure for 2019 imply in our target there are the achievement and the maintenance of the margin that we have achieved in 2018. For sure for 2019 we expect to keep our margin. We have already announced that going forward, we expect to keep this margin, but we will be more detailed in driver in margin evolution when we will present our business plan in May. I want to reassure you that we expect to keep our margin 2019. We don't see major changes in our profitability going forward, but to comment in detail margin evolution, I will postpone you to the presentation of our business plan in May.
Thank you.
The next question is from Amici Yana with Wells Fargo. Please go ahead.
Hi, a couple of questions on my side. Firstly, do you have a guidance for the 2019 tax rate? And my second question is about the 2019 cost line. Do you feel that you do need to reinvest a little bit on your marketing, the sales and marketing costs?
Okay, the first question was related to the tax rate, and our guidance for 2019 is to continue to have a tax rate around 25%, then it's in line 25.5%. Then we don't expect. Then the other point we as I don't want to comment in detail margin percentage of sales for 2019, but imply in our assumption, which is we expect to keep our margin in line with what we have achieved in 18. We have also commented that we don't expect major changes for R&D, which means that essentially we expect our margin structure for 19 to be very similar to what we have achieved in 2019. In particular, we have now as percentage of sales in our selling expenses a rate which is we have achieved in 2018 a rate of 24.7%, and we have our G&A which are 5%, and we don't expect major changes, and this is also implied in our guidance, which is to keep our margin stable for 2019.
If I can squeeze in just another point on, thank you very much for giving us a sort of a Forex sensitivity at the revenue level. I'm afraid that I'm a little bit new to your company, but is your Forex sensitivity greater at your EBITDA level or EBIT level compared to the top line?
Okay, then. We have an impact in our revenue line, which is mainly linked to the translation of the local sales in Turkey, Russia, for 2018, even the U.S. market, in our euro-denominated P&L. Why this impact is for sure mitigated at operating level, EBITDA level, due to the fact that in all of this business we have a natural hedging which is represented by costs which are denominated in local currency, and in all this market we have all the commercial organization which is a local one, which is the costs are denominated in local currency. We have also the majority of our production costs which are denominated in local currency. In particular, we have an important production plant in Turkey. Part of our portfolio is produced through third-party manufacturing in Russia. And in our business in the U.S. market, we have third-party agreement for all our portfolio with local manufacturers, which means that our cost is denominated in US dollar, which means that we have an impact also on operating level, but this is lower than what we have communicated in our revenue line, thanks to this natural hedging.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much, and that's all my questions.
Okay, thank you for your question.
The next question is from Ezio Pino with Societe Generale. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening to everybody. Could you please give us a rough indication of 2018 EBITDA, including the full year effect of the various acquisitions done during the year?
Sorry?
Including
what?
Including the full year impact of the acquisition done during the year.
Okay, then. This is frankly speaking, in the only acquisition we had in terms of margin in 2018 is the acquisition of Natural Point. We bought one company in June. This was in terms of sales. We are talking about 7.7 million sales, and then it's up to you to do the calculation considering our margin, and consider also that this company has a higher margin compared to our EBITDA margin. You can keep 50% of this if you want, and that's the only contribution. If you want to have the full year, including the acquisition, you have just to add this EBITDA, which is linked to the acquisition of Natural Point. On the other hand, we have also acquired a company in France, which is Tonipharm, but this has not been consolidated because we have signed and closed the deal at the year-end.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Caterina Czajkowska with BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you give an indication whether the tax settlement that you had with the Italian authorities is final? Do you expect any more payments related to that?
Okay. With this, the agreement was final for the period which was under investigation, which was the period 2009 and 2015. We have also included, accrued in our cost, the cost which is linked to the application of the new condition, which we have agreed with the Italian authority for 2016 and 2017 and 2018. It's finally for paid, let me say in this way, is paid, and we have paid in November the settlement for the period 2019-2015, and accrued, but in line with what are the agreement for the other part of the period, which is the three years 2016, 2017, and 2018. We don't expect other costs linked to this settlement for the future.
Okay, thanks.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star followed by one. The next question is a follow-up from Jo Walton with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you. I just wondered if you could give us an update on Carbaglu in organic acidemia in the U.S., whether you've now been able to file that, and if so, should we begin to see sales at the end of 2019? Many thanks.
Okay, thank you for the question. We have filed Carbaglu organic acidemia in the U.S. end of 2018, and now we are in the process of discussing with FDA, and then the expectation is to have sales by the end of this year, initial 2020. We have filed the dossier in November last year.
Do you know whether you have received a priority review?
Not yet, also because based on the shutdown, there was the activity of the FDA was not fully, I don't know.
Operational.
It was not fully operational. We have filed. Let me comment on this, Jo. There was a long discussion with FDA for this filing, and then we expect to have the product approved by the end of 2019. Then we will update you during this year on the progression of this file.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
The next question is a follow-up from Martino De Ambroggi with Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Just if you can remind us what are the peak sales for Urorec and Livazo, considering we are not far from the patent expiry. If you confirm the old or the original indication, or there is some revision upwards, downwards.
Okay, then the peak sales were more than 100 million euro than we have already. We are very pleased to achieve in 18 and to exceed the sales of xylodosin-based product in our P&L above 100 million euro. We expect the further growth of the product in 19, which means that we are in line, even slightly above our previous expectation.
And for the other one?
For Livazo is a different story, because the previous expectation were linked to the opportunity to launch Livazo also in Italy and France. For price reason, we were not been able to have the product reimbursed at the premium price in these two markets. Now we are achieving, we have achieved 47 million euro in 2018. We continue to grow the product double digit. We are very pleased by the performance of Livazo in Turkey and even in Russia, in which we've launched also in this market. We have seen good performance, and then we will be for sure below the expectation that were 100 million euro, but we are very pleased by this performance, and we expect to continue to have double-digit growth for the Livazo.
Till the expiry, okay.
Until the entry of generic competitor.
Okay. Too early to have visibility on this.
Too early in terms of availability of generic, yes. Just to remind you that the exclusivity in using clinical data for xylodosin expired beginning January 2020, and for Livazo August 2020. It's clear, but if and when generic will enter, today there is no visibility. Too early.
Okay, thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Okay, if there are no further questions, I think we'll say goodbye to everybody, and thank you for attending our call.